Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Years ago, Tom Wolfe wrote a book entitled Bonfire of the Vanities. It's a satirical novel about ambition, racism, social class, and politics in New York City during the 1980s. And there's a scene where Sherman McCoy, a main character, reflects on what it takes to survive in New York City. I quote, "If you want to live in New York, you've got to insulate, insulate, insulate." Now, we might wonder, what does he mean by that comment? McCoy was intent on insulating himself. He lived in a doorman-protected apartment, landed job after ever higher-paying job, and kept his expensive car in a secure garage. That way, he never had to take the subway or cavort with the sweaty masses in New York. Now, as you might expect, the remainder of the novel is how that insulation begins to unwind. In today's gospel, you and I can imagine Peter saying to Jesus, "God forbid it, Lord, you need insulation." Matthew's account, the words of the prophet Jeremiah, and St. Paul's letter, they all focus on this challenge. What do you desire? Insulation or transformation? Last week, the curtain fell on the first act in the drama of Peter. He was called at the side of the lake to be an apostle. Subsequently, he spent traveling with Jesus, seeing what he did and listening to his message. And Act 1 reached its climax with Peter responding to the question of Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" His response, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." In today's gospel, however, we witness the beginning of Act 2. We discover that Peter's grasp of what he solemnly declared last week was quite feeble. As Father Xavier said last week, Jesus' talk of a Messiah of forgiveness and love did not compute. We might even say that Peter the rock was nothing more than Peter the block. But let's be honest. This story isn't simply a tale about our first pope. Actually, it's your story as well as mine, as well as the story of the entire church. Because in our Act 1, you and I make a commitment, a profession. A friend, for example, vows to someone, "We will be united in friendship forever. I'll be there for you." A student starts the new school year and is confident that this year will be different. And so he or she knuckles down in their studies and is more disciplined about social media. Or in another example, the church promises to be a protector of the poor. In Act 2, though, reality sets in. We begin to see the consequences of our commitments and our words. We find ourselves saying, "I didn't think what I said meant that," or, "You're telling me that I need to get up 3 times a night to take care of the baby?" Or, "What? I'm going to have fewer friends on Facebook?" You and I begin to insulate ourselves from the cost of the crosses we commit ourselves to bear. Peter squirmed when he heard these words, "suffer and die." But don't you and I do the same thing? We can't get around the sharpness of Jesus' withering comment to Peter. It can't be watered down. He called the leader of his disciples Satan. He tells him he's an obstacle. And you and I also become obstacles to God's plan. When we're unwilling to accept the deaths that are involved in this process, these events have the potential to transform us. They're like little deaths to ourselves, and they rob us of our illusions in life that we find so comforting. A third act, though, awaits Peter down the road. It takes the form of a woman whose name we never learn, a servant girl in the courtyard of the high priest. Remember her and the story we hear during Holy Week? She challenges Peter. You too are with Jesus the Galilean. You're one of that crowd. She makes Peter cry out, I do not know the man. Really? Peter doesn't know the man with whom he spent every day for years? Yet, lest I judge Peter's abandonment too harshly, I need to reflect on those times when I fiercely insulated myself, separated myself from people I know at work or in my personal life. Or worse yet, those times when you and I insulate ourselves from accepting our own personal gifts and shortcomings and our God-given blessed selves. But by God's grace, there is an act four in Peter's future, and one in ours also. Recall for a moment the story in the Acts of the Apostles where Peter and John heal a man born crippled. The synagogue leaders, quote, observe the boldness of these uneducated, ordinary men and are amazed. They also recognize them as companions of Jesus. All that day long, both at the temple and in their homes, they cannot stop teaching and proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus. Transformation occurred because the disciples took to heart the words of Jesus in today's gospel that they and we have heard so many times before but misunderstood, and on the third day be raised. We got stuck in the suffering and death part. We got that far and said, God forbid, Lord, that shall never happen to you, without finishing the sentence, without noticing that after the suffering and death part, there's transformation, there's life again, abundant life, life for Jesus and life for us, life that can never be cut off. As you and I undergo this lifelong process of transformation, our attitudes and conduct change in profound ways. Today and this week, may I suggest one particular action? That we exercise empathy, profound empathy, for the millions of people affected by Hurricane Harvey. Our empathy can take many forms, from prayers to donations, to notes of encouragement to people we know or know of in the Houston area. To do what we can to ease their suffering and to assist their transformation to safety, cleanup, and new lives. As we receive the Lord today, let us ask him to send that maidservant called reality and to take away our blindness, our many forms of insulation, and show us the full meaning of Messiah. And then ask him to impress these words into our hearts, resurrection, transformation, so that like Jeremiah and Peter and John, it may be impossible for us not to proclaim in our lives the wonderful, wonderful mercy of our God.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.